is Delta Affairs Weekly, where we look at the issues important to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Last week, tribal representatives from across the U.S. traveled to Washington, D.C. for President Obama's eighth and final White House Tribal Nations Conference. The representatives met with President Obama and members of his cabinet. They discussed issues facing tribes and solutions ahead. The next day, about 100 Alaska Native and Native American youths attended the White House Tribal Youth Gathering. They talked about many of the same issues presented on the first day. One of those youths, Charity Ropati, represented the Native village of Kungiganak. Ropati is a 10th grader at Service High School in Anchorage. I talked with her on the last day of the conference while she was still in D.C.
So my mom was raised in Kungiganak, Alaska. And so because of that, every summer I go to Kong to learn my cultural ways. And most of my family on my mom's side lives there. So I go there to meet with family and during holidays as well, during fishing season as well.
Okay, so tell me about the conference. How has it been going? What have you been doing?
It's been mind-blowing and eye-opening just going there with you to learn about what they've been doing for their challenges to improve their communities was amazing. So when we actually went to the White House Tribal Nations Conference, where the president was, we witnessed a lot of our government officials go up to a lot of the secretary cabinets from President Obama's administration. Like, for example, Secretary Jewell, who is the Secretary of the Interior, talked about what she has been doing to help Alaska Native and Native American people on the issues they're facing in the communities, locally and nationally, pertaining to the government.
And then what issues were you presenting from the Yupik region?
Well, from the Yupik region, I was presenting issues such as the education. I was saying that the educational problems that our youth face in their schools are tremendous. If you compare the rural education system the urban education system, you could see a very large difference. And I was discussing how drugs, alcohol, suicide, abuse were affecting the educational opportunities that our youth receive. Like how we have less opportunities compared to those that live in urban areas. I was also discussing how, in a broader sense, how our history books don't portray the correct history and how it's told through the winner's side, which is the American side, and how our history needs to be told through our history books so people aren't ignorant of Native American and Alaska Natives as people. Other issues that I discussed were suicide, how Alaska has the highest rate of suicide, and especially my region. And I discussed how our government officials need to face that and how they need to set up programs so that we could feel like we belong. And another thing that many of the youth at the Tribal Nations Conference discussed was that a lot of people have this ideal that Native Americans don't exist anymore, that they're a thing of the past. And we discussed this idea that we are here, we still exist, and we want change. And so that's kind of the topics that I discussed with some of the youth there, as well as the cabinet members of Obama's administration.
Did you present solutions along with those issues?
Yes, I was. So during the White House Tribal Youth Gathering today, I was able to present some of these ideas to the youth that were in the crowd. So, for example, one of the main issues that I focused on was the transition from rural to urban education. I discussed how in Alaska, similar to how in the reservations as well, and how it's hard, and it's financially impossible for our youth to get to a college, and they do not have the resources so that they're able to attain that higher education, and how we as the youth representing the ones that can't be heard need to push our tribal leaders, we need to push our government officials to understand that this is a problem and that we have to make a change to that.
And do you know what that change would be?
To be perfectly honest, I think that change needs to start with the youth. That we need to start raising awareness of the issues that affect us, so that it won't affect us anymore, that we need to take the Generation Indigenous Challenge in our communities so that we could start programs, so that we could make meetings, so that we could do anything in our power to change that statistic, to make our educational opportunity as equal to others that are in predominantly white schools.
So you're meeting with tribal youth representatives from around the nation. And what was that like? What was that like just to meet so many people from other tribes across Alaska, across the lower 48?
Overall, the experience was absolutely mind-blowing, because through speaking with these youth, I found that they were also facing these issues, and that we as Alaska Native people weren't alone, that Native Americans from the Low 48 were facing alcohol abuse, were facing drug and alcohol, were facing all these issues, and we're also facing this idea that their rural education versus the urban education in their state was totally different, and they saw that horribleness in that and how that it needed to be more equal. And I felt a sense of belonging. I felt comfortable. I didn't feel nervous. And it was an absolutely amazing experience overall.
Do you think that any change is going to come as a result of this conference?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I know for sure that through this gathering and conference, they are more informed about the issues that affect tribal nations, and that they will take that step to solve those issues. It was very motivational and it was very mind-blowing, and I am positive that they are going to make those steps to make change in their community.
And so you attended the Generation Indigenous Challenge, is that correct?
Oh, yes, I took the Generation Indigenous Challenge. So GENI, which is Generation Indigenous, was an initiative that was released by Barack Obama's initiative after he took a trip to, I believe it was Standing Rock Reservation. And when he saw the pain, when he saw the struggle that the youth faced, he was like, we need to do something about this. So he initiated this challenge for one purpose, and that purpose was to tear down the barriers that restricted youth and our people from opportunity, from positive opportunity. And through that, I saw that there were, and from that challenge, I saw the problems. I knew that there were problems in my community, but I didn't know what steps to take. And that initiative, that challenge that he proposed, I took that, and it's a 30-day challenge. And through that, I was able to go to a talking session with the Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, and discuss the educational issues that my community faced. And then after that, I wrote an article for the First Alaskan Institute on what I saw, on the issues that I see in my community and how I could solve them. And now, after coming from this conference, I'm going to do another challenge. And that challenge is to try to improve the education of my people, meaning that I want to try, through education, I want to eradicate the problems that my youth face. So what I want to do is I'm actually trying to get a grant from Dreamstarter, which Billy Mills released. And through that, in my village, Kangiganak, Alaska, I want to create a program that will be one-on-one with the youth on tutoring, on any counseling they need, on good books, on just like buying the necessary supplies to make education a priority for the youth in my village.
So why is education such a big deal for you?
Education is such a big deal. So growing up, my parents have always implemented this idea that education is the way out. Education should be your top priority, because in this world now, that's the only way you could be successful, by getting your college degree, by going to law school or medical school. Because that's how you live now. We live in a modern society. It's not big on subsistence anymore. It's all about going to college. It's all about getting a high education so that you could be successful. And my elders told me that being able to understand the government today, it's very important if we want our culture to be alive still. And they've been implementing this idea for like hundreds of years to the youth, and they passed this on to my generation. So it's very important that we understand the nation-to-nation consultation between tribal government and the U.S. federal government. And so education needs to be a top priority for me so that I could represent my community correctly and so that I could do it as efficiently and proficiently as I can so that I could actually kind of push the policymakers here, kind of push our leaders of Alaska so that they could, so that they know that we are here, so that they know that we are still struggling and that our issues are still relevant.
What are you going to take away from this conference?
Oh, wow. I think from this conference, I am more confident in what I believe in. Like, at first, a lot of people were like, okay, so you're going to do this, you're going to do that. How are you going to do that? I did not know what to say to that. And then through this conference, I was able to reach out to tribal leaders. I was able to reach out to any Native American leader and actually create a program so I could implement my ideas on the youth so I could actually see change. And through this program, I feel more confident in actually succeeding in my future because I want to make it to a good college and I want to be successful. And through this conference, I knew that I could do it because I saw so many examples of people that made it, people that are Native American, people that face discrimination because of their color, but they still succeeded. And through this, I know that I could make it.
What do you mean by they made it?
Okay, so for example, Karen Diver, who works for President Barack Obama, when she was 15 years old, she was a teen mom. But she did not let that statistic bear her down, the statistic meaning that Native Americans are going to fail when they have babies when they're young. She proved that wrong. She worked hard. She's a Harvard graduate, and now she works for the president. And when I see that, that is success to me because she proved those that did not believe her wrong. She kept motivating herself. She worked hard. When I see these hardworking Native Americans and Alaska Natives doing these types of jobs with the White House, with the government, that is success to me. And that makes me more confident in what I want to do in the future.
And what is that? What do you want your success to be?
I want to be President of the United States of America. That's my big goal. But for now, I want to go into law, and then I want to represent my people. So I want to become part of the Tribal Council, become Senator of Alaska, become Governor, and then Presidency.
Why is that the ambition? Why President?
Well, ever since I was 8 years old, when Barack Obama became President, I was like, I thought it was impossible for any person of color to become president. And when I saw him become president, I was screaming. And I was like, yes, like, it is possible. And on the day that he got inaugurated into the White House, I knew that I will be president and that I was going to work my butt off to become president. And I did not care about the position. I wanted to make change like he did. For the fact that he was African-American and he became president, that change the perspective of all Americans across the country, the perspective that it's not only going to be European white people that are going to be president, but it can be literally anybody. And through that, I knew that me, an Alaska Native, can also be president because I care about change. So now I'm focusing on making change in my community, but I care so much about America, and I want to make change for America.
So visiting the White House, did you feel like, you know, you're visiting your future home?
Yeah, when my mom came with me, I was like, Mom, this is going to be my future home, so it's not going to be the last time here, so.
Did you get to meet President Obama?
I don't know about me. I got to see him on stage, and when he was walking, I shook his hand, so I guess that counts. It was an amazing experience. I literally cried because he's always been my role model. Like, every day, like, that pushed me to work harder in school, to be top student in school. That pushed me to be top in sports or to join these many, like, programs, become president of student council. Like, he's always been a role model. And when I actually shook his hand, I teared up because this was the president that changed my whole life, that made me want to achieve my dreams.
Did you say anything to him?
I shook his hand. I wasn't able to say anything. I wish I had, but he said, during his speech, he said a lot of things to the youth overall, but it was still a pretty great experience.
And is there anything that you remember him saying that you've, like, stuck out to you or you're going to, like, hold on to?
Oh, yes, there was. He was saying how he said this. I don't remember the exact quote, but this is what he said. He said, to those people that doubt you, to those people that put you down, to those people who say you can't, yes, we can. He said that, yes, we can as Native youth. What he means by that is, like, this is what I got from that when people try to tear you down or try to say, no, you can't be president, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, prove them wrong. Show them that you can do it. And that really stuck with me because I followed that motto, and it kind of clicked in at that moment because I was like, this is true. I'm on the right track, and I'll stay on this track.
What do you hope that the next presidential administration does to advance tribal interest and relations?
I hope that the next president, either Trump or Clinton, continues these initiatives. I hope that they keep having this White House Tribal Nations Conference and that they further on the Generation Indigenous Initiative. Because today we were discussing, we actually did an activity called the Dear Next President. And we, as a collective group, tribal youth wanted to say that we cannot be forgotten again, that we are here and that we still live, and that our issues need to be considered, just like Obama's administration did, that the next president has to continue his initiatives and programs, and that the policies that we want still matter.
And is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just one thing to, like, any youth that are listening or that are listening to, like, this, I just want them to know that you don't have to come to D.C. to make a difference, that you don't have to have a lot of money, that you don't need this and that, that you just need to have a voice. You need to have a voice, and you need to have the confidence to speak.
Charity, thank you so much for talking with me.
Of course. Thank you for talking with me.
That's Charity Ropati on the final day of the White House Tribal Youth Gathering in Washington, D.C., where she represented the Native village of Kungiganak. This is Delta Affairs Weekly. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.